Oh, good evening, Kel.
Now, the background to this is there's an organisation, a Christian youth camping organisation set up by the Christian Brethren in Victoria, and they refused to accept a booking for their camp, didn't they?
Yes, that's right, Kel. They were approached by a group called Cobourg Community Health Service, which ran a project which was meant to provide support services for same-sex attracted young people, and they rang up and asked for a booking, and they told the person taking the booking that the aim of the group was to convey the message that homosexuality is a normal, natural part of human life. And the gentleman taking the booking said, well, that's not consistent with our Christian commitments, and therefore we won't be able to take the booking.
And so his refusal to do that, he was prosecuted, and the organisation was prosecuted, and then and they were found guilty. They were decided they couldn't make that decision, and that's what went to appeal, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. If I'm wearing my lawyer's hat for the moment, I have to technically say it wasn't a criminal prosecution. It was a fine that was levied under legislation that makes it unlawful to do that, but yes, it's a similar effect.
It is a bit complicated, but one of the things that the Christian Brethren group and the individual concerned wanted to say is we have nothing against homosexual people. It's homosexual activity and the promotion of that activity which is a problem for us. And I take it that argument was not accepted.
No, you're right, Kel. The majority of the court, and you're right about the fact that that was an argument that they wanted to make, but the majority of the court said that they didn't accept the distinction between homosexual activity, as it were, and people being identified as homosexual, and they said that to attack homosexual behaviour or to say that that was wrong was in effect to amount to an attack on the people concerned and their sexual orientation. So they weren't willing to allow that distinction to be drawn.
So is this a wider problem for Christians? If we want to turn around and say, I'm reading Romans chapter 1, and from that I take it God says homosexual activity is abnormal. Is that the kind of thing that the court is saying we cannot decide now, or we cannot say now? Explain the ramifications for me.
The fact is that that's an attitude that is coming into decisions in this area, that the courts are ruling that because sexual orientation, as they say, is essentially a part of a person's own identity, that to criticise homosexual behaviour, which is in accordance with what they say is the orientation, ends up being an attack on the people. Now, in terms of standing up in church and saying that, or teaching it in a Bible study group, there are exemptions under the New South Wales legislation and the Victorian legislation and most other legislation to allow those sorts of propositions to be put forward in religious context.
But what if you said it outside of a religious context? What if someone said it, I don't know, in an RE class in a school, or if I said it on a radio program and said, here it is, Romans chapter 1, God says homosexual behaviour is abnormal behaviour. So it's not in church. I mean, is that the kind of thing which is now doubtful?
There is a doubt about it, yes. I think if it's not covered by one of those exemptions covering the activities of religious organisations, there is a doubt about whether that might not be heard by someone as effectively amounting to hate speech and possibly regarded as unlawful.
Does that mean these kinds of decisions are going to make it harder for Christians to live and behave consistently as Christians 7 days a week in all the things they do?
I think that's true. It's going to raise those sorts of issues. One of the unfortunate features of the decision was that the majority of the court seemed to imply that if Christians enter into the so-called commercial sphere and offering services for payment, even if that's, you know, simply a payment designed to cover costs, that they may not be able to rely on the exemptions that were previously thought to apply to religious organisations even.
But I mean, even that seems to me to be saying, once you move from that box to this box, you've got to stop being Christian.
Yes, that would, I think, be the implication of what the majority of the court is saying. I should hasten to say that there was a very strong dissenting judgment in the particular case by Justice Redlich, who I think made a lot of sense, and he said that that was impossible for religious people to separate those different compartments of their lives, and he thought that the legislation should have protected the decision that had been made in these circumstances. But the majority of the court disagreed.
Do we need to ask our politicians to be more careful in the way these things are drafted so that, in fact, Christians can be Christians in the whole of life?
Well, I think that there, if the decision in this case stands in Victoria, say, then yes, I think that there's a need for Christians in Victoria to be arguing for the legislation to be much clearer. about the fact that it covers groups that operate on a Christian ethos, even if they're not doing particularly religious activities, and to be clearer about the way that people's rights to freedom of religion impact with this, as it were, competing right not to be discriminated against. And that's one of the things that this case is about, how the courts these days and how Parliament these days is going to balance out these two things, which are both important human rights.
Mm.
And it's too often forgotten, I think, given the emphasis on discrimination that we face,
yep,
that freedom of religion and freedom of religious exercise is an important internationally recognised human right. And it's, you know, it's ironic, actually, that it's specifically recognised in Victoria under their Charter of Rights, although the Charter of Rights was not particular, was not actually applicable to this litigation. But the fact is that, yes, I think we need to be encouraging our politicians to think very carefully about how to protect freedom of religion in legislation that's drawn up in this way.
Well, for helping us to be vigilant in this area, and we'd invite you to keep on being vigilant. Neil Foster, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Kel. It's been my pleasure.